This is another sermon in actually two series. One series that was intentional, and another series that I realized as I was preparing for this that I've been implicitly doing. You probably know which series the first one is. What series have I been doing? Are you two more letters? Vision. So theoretically, I should have done this last month, but as we all know, that freak pre-Halloween snowstorm shifted one letter into the next month, so this shifted into this month. Although I am thinking about doing the N on Christmas Day, since Christmas Day is about Jesus. And what's the N? Does anybody remember? N for nucleus, right? And who is the nucleus of this church?
Jesus.
But we're going to do the letter O today, and going quickly over the other letters. V was for values. My vision for the Antrim Church of Christ is that we will only get our values from the Bible, or God, as He's given through the Bible, and that we will value heavenly things more than earthly ones. I was for integrity. My vision for the Antrim Church of Christ is that we will always have integrity. S was for seriousness. My vision for the Antrim Church of Christ is that we will take our calling seriously. And I was for intimacy. My vision for the Antrim Church of Christ is that we will have greater intimacy. Does anybody remember what O stands for? Very good. Well, you see, she's got them. Very good. I did kind of like ambitrophic and omnium gatherum. You remember those two? Ambitrophic is you get your nutrition from the air, basically. And since the Holy Spirit is our atmosphere, it would make sense that we should get our nutrition from it. And omnium gatherum basically means it's a miscellaneous gathering of different people. And I think we're decently miscellaneous, and I hope we become more miscellaneous as we go into 2012. But as I went through it, I realized there was a much simpler three-letter word that I could use with O. Does anybody remember what it was? Trudy? One, exactly, one. My vision for the Antrim Church of Christ is that we will be one. And if you look back through all the letters, again, just like the Bible seems to interact, all the letters interact too, that it's hard to be one if you don't have greater intimacy. The nucleus is part of all of it. Remember, I and you and me and Jesus and the Father. It all fits together. Now, the second series that I didn't realize I was doing, can you guess what that is? What do I have a habit of quoting other than the Bible?
Songs,
right? I realized I am doing, as I was thinking of a Three Dog Night song, that has to do with this one, that I've been doing a second series about wisdom from secular songs, where we get a quote from a secular song and then we discuss whether or not what that quote says is legit or not. And in some cases it is. For instance, if you remember What You Need, an Aloe Black song, Misfortune. Does anybody remember that? We did confirm that the to-be father-in-law in that song, his advice where he said, but the problem with having everything you want is that you never really know what you need. He was giving that to a suitor, misfortune suitor. We did find out that that was pretty wise, didn't we? Whereas in Praying Like a Pagan Part 2, we realize we might not want to pray like Janis Joplin and plead, oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes-Benz, right? I can't believe I tried that, did right? So we've gotten both ways. Sometimes it's good advice and sometimes not so good. So with today's sermon, we're going to see how right Three Dog Night is in their aptly named song One, go figure, when they say one is the loneliest number that you'll ever do, which doesn't quite make sense to me, but they didn't claim to be English teachers, they just claimed to be musicians. So we're going to see when they sing one is the loneliest number that you'll ever do, is one really the loneliest number? We're going to find that out together. So let's go ahead and look at O in my vision and at the wisdom of Three Dog Night. And as followers of the one who died, more than that, the one who was raised, Romans 8:34, and as people who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness, reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. I should read that again. I messed it up. And those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in the life through the one man, Jesus Christ, Romans 5:17. There are lots of ones that are very important to us. For instance, let's look at Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. I suppose in a sermon about 1, I could always just do verses that start with 1. Randomly go through the Bible. In this case, it just worked out, unintentionally. Are we there? I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that brings you to your call, that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Amen. Did you catch all the ones in the last two verses? One body, one Spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one God and Father of all. And in that case, I think all counts not just Christians, of all. Of all. Everything that's been created, for that matter. Now, one may or may not be the loneliest number. We haven't answered that question with Ephesians. But it is a very important numeral for Christians. Another one scripture of note is in the book we've been studying each Sunday, verses 1 and 2 in the second chapter of Philippians. Let's look at that. Philippians 2, verses 1 and 2. Again, just happens to start with 1. I can get my fingers calibrated here. So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. And of one mind. With that verse, we get to add to our list of ones, one love, one accord, and one mind. And I'll give you that it technically doesn't say one love and one accord, but I think they are fair additions considering the context of Philippians' unity theme. And we could spend a lot more time today continuing through one, as in quotes one, biblical references. But after a few hours, I suspect that you might want song services every week like last week instead of having me preach. So we won't do that. What we're going to do is look at a couple more before we actually try to answer the question of whether Three Dog Night is correct in suggesting that one is the loneliest number that you'll ever do. And when it comes to one scriptures, this is probably number two, as I would list it, number two of my top whatever scriptures that have to do with one. It's Galatians chapter 3, verses 25 through 29. Galatians chapter 3, verses 25 through 29. I think I've gone past it. There we go. Galatians chapter 3, verses 25 through 29. And let's put a special focus on verse 28. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian. For in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is no male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female. Think about how much comfort society's outcasts and underclasses have gotten from those words for 2,000 years. Because no matter where you are, India technically is still a class society. But what's the Bible say? What does Jesus say to them? You're one in Christ Jesus. And why are there neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male or female? Because we are all one in Christ Jesus. So now our list is one body, one spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, one love, one accord, one mind, and one in Christ Jesus. Now for our last one scripture, my number one, this could actually get quite painful quickly. Let's turn to John 17, 20 through 26. And this should be pretty familiar to those who have been tortured by my sermons because I've brought this set of verses up multiple times for multiple reasons. John chapter 17, verses 20 through 26. I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one even as we are one, I in them, and you in me, that they may be perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and love them even as you have loved me. Now, although that doesn't really add to our list of ones, we actually can get three very important points from it. First of all, notice this is Jesus' specific prayer for us that we be one. First of all, it's for us because we are those who will believe in him through the apostles' word. So Jesus said it to us, standing and sitting here. Second of all, what does he specifically ask for? That we be one. So this is not important because I put an O in vision and needed to find a good word for it. This is important because the Lord himself wants us to be one. Second, to be one is to be in each other, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us. Now, if you want to spend a little more on that concept of being in each other, then do me a favor, go online and go listen to the talk from the previous sermon in this series after we had torn ourselves away from them, because it speaks a lot about what it means to be in each other. It speaks of an intimacy that we need as a body. And then finally, and this is of extreme importance to those of us sitting and standing here that have accepted the call into God's fold, being one reflects back on the Lord. Please carefully consider those words, because if you don't do it for any other reason, if you don't do it because Jesus specifically asked you, and you don't do it because we really should be more intimate, then do it because whether you do it or not, reflects directly back on our Lord. Jesus prays that we may become perfectly one so that the world may know that you sent me. If we are one, then the world will know Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah. But sadly, the reverse also holds, which is, if we are not one, the world will not believe in Jesus. I don't care what great words we use, if people see discord within our congregation, they won't be convinced of the gospel. Why would they? They can go ahead and see discord in many other faiths, including secular faiths. If we are not one, the world will not believe in Jesus. And for that matter, you may notice that also the world will not believe that the Father loves us. It's in the same reference. If we are not one, the world will not believe that the Father loves us. And that thought couldn't help me think of another famous set of words from Jesus recorded by the Apostle John, where he says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. You are also to love one another. By this, all people will" what? "Will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." If we are one with one love, that one love will include love for each other. Being one will show people that we are loved by the Father, And loving each other will show that we are Jesus' disciples. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. That's 1 Corinthians 12:26, and the previous reference was John 13:34 through 35. So, at this point, I hope you understand what I mean when I say that I hope, or my vision for the Antrim Church of Christ is that we will be one, what I mean by that. But I still have not answered the question as to whether one is the loneliest number that you'll ever do. Let's do that with two more references. The first one's in Matthew chapter 7, 13 through 14. Matthew chapter 7, 13 through 14. Are we there? If the page doesn't change by the breeze. Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. I don't know about you, but one is sounding a bit better than many right now. If you go with the many, your destination is destruction. Is that what it says? Luke elaborates a bit more of that on Luke 13, 23 through 28. Let's look at Luke 13, 23 through 28. Are we there? I'm almost, but my fingers are getting tired. And someone said to him, "Lord, will those who are saved be few?" A nice direct question. And he said to them, "Strive to enter through the narrow door, for many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able. When once the master of the house has risen and shut the door, and you begin to stand outside and to knock at the door, saying, 'Lord, open for us,' then he will answer you, 'I do not know where you come from.' Then you'll begin to say, 'We ate and drank in your presence, and you taught in our streets.' But he will say, 'I tell you, I do not know where you come from. Depart from me, all you workers of evil.' In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, but you yourselves are cast out." Not a very happy verse. And once again, I don't know about you, but one is sounding a lot better than many. Because it says, many will knock on the door, many will seek to enter and will not be able to. Instead, they will head to a place where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, in fairness to Three Dog Night, when they were using one, they were doing it in a different context. But being the preacher and all, I'm allowed a bit of poetic justice, aren't I? I would suggest, once God leaves the lost, the many, they will feel very, very lonely. And okay, I will admit that many itself is not a number, but instead of one being the loneliest number, many is. One isn't the loneliest number. Many is the loneliest number. Because being thrown or cast, thrown, Matthew 8:12, cast, Matthew 22:13 and 25:30, into outer darkness will leave the wicked in a very lonely condition. And there are people who believe what hell is being all alone for all eternity. At a minimum, it's cut off from God for all eternity. And that is very lonely. Being part of one body, being one with each other, being one with the Son and the Father, that's not going to be lonely at all, is it? And of course, that can only be accomplished through the One. Not only is my vision for the Antrim Church of Christ that we will be one, my vision for the Antrim Church of Christ is that we will be one body, fed by one Spirit, with one hope in one Lord, because our one faith meant we shared in one baptism given by the one God and Father of all. And with our one love, we will work in one accord and with one mind so that we will be one with each other and, most importantly, one with Christ. And I'd repeat it again, but I don't know if I'd make it through it again. And from that, others will know that the Father sent the Son and will believe, and they will become one with us too. Because with God, one is the least lonely number of all.